Good morning, everybody. Good morning, honorable members. We've called this meeting as part of a process that is focusing mainly on understanding the state of the social economy in South Africa. It is informed by our engagement with the department as a portfolio committee, and our thinking that the department has to change gear if we were to build social economy in South Africa and do things differently. We have not found a common understanding between the portfolio committee and the department. What we have done, we've been to cooperatives. We started this process by visiting cooperatives that the department had assisted financially and non-financially. And what we came across did not please us. This is now the perspective of the portfolio committee. What we came across on the ground did not please us. We saw the Cinderella type of cooperatives. Which do not even have a sustainable income for members, let alone their understanding that they are actually a pillar for transforming the economy of this country. And make it a mixed economy. We then resolved that we would go to Mondragon. We first started by inviting Mondragon in July 2015 to come and share their experiences with us. After that, we went to Mondragon this year. Unfortunately, it wasn't the entire complement of the committee. It was only 7 members. Came back and processed the report. And in processing that report, the committee said, let us revisit the model that you had presented to us, Chairperson, to see whether there are common areas in what we saw in Mondragon, and also to see whether that what you presented to us has got elements of in addressing challenges that we have come across as a portfolio committee that we see on the ground. That then led to a situation where last week the model was re-looked at again. But because we also wanted to get independent views, we invited a Temo Hopadu is here with us. I would like to send us, okay, show yourself, okay. His role in this meeting is to critique. He understands the concept of cooperatives, he understands where South Africa is, he understands the Morogoro resolution, he is operating in the space of cooperatives. He has written papers. He has delivered. He has addressed many meetings, some that I read about and some I sit in those meetings and listen to him and say to myself, if we were all going to understand the cooperatives in the manner he does, we wouldn't be having 88% failure rate in South Africa. Thank you, sir, for stepping out to actually say, this is how I see the situation in South Africa, and this is how I think the situation should be resolved. We also invited in this meeting as observers and also as presenters, DGRV. DGRV presented last week. They are not going to present today. Also, the Institute for Cooperatives and Community Economic Development presented last week. They are not going to present today. They presented to the Women's Caucus, Multi-Party Women's Caucus, and the same resolution that was taken in the Portfolio Committee was taken in the Multi-Party Women's Caucus. And that resolution was, there are very few people in this meeting. This information, we need to discuss, to open a national discussion on the state of cooperatives in South Africa and where it's going. And what was then proposed by the Portfolio Committee on Wednesday and by the Multi-Women's Caucus on Thursday is a national summit on cooperatives. Because everybody can see that something very drastically needs to happen if we were to develop cooperatives in South Africa. It can't be business as usual. There's something very, very, very wrong. And we have to admit to that, that if we have 88% failure rate of cooperatives in South Africa, if it was a hospital, it would have been closed down. We cannot be happy seated here as cooperators, as legislators responsible for legislating to open opportunities and level the playing field for the social economy to thrive in this country. We can't close our eyes and say 88% failure rates are the good results. We would be fooling ourselves if we were to pat ourselves on the shoulders and say it's good. I was a very bright child. Angikaze mina ngithole u-12 out of 100. I was a very bright student. I have never, when I write a test and the teacher would give me 12 out of 100, I don't know what I would do. Because 88% failure rate means only 12 out of 100 are surviving. With all the investment that has been done, with all the structures that we are going to be interacting with all the officials that are in all government departments, what we have achieved is 12% survival, not financial viability. Survival. Also, there is a very, very narrow perspective. Narrow perspective. Developing cooperatives, not facilitating establishment of worker, member, owned enterprises in South Africa. Member, community, owned enterprises. We don't have those. We only have the smallanyana kakokokanyana zama bantabau five who don't even earn. There are very few successful cooperatives who are actually participating in mainstream of the economy. Those that would say, Tina, we are involved in manufacturing trains or certain parts of trains. Or Tina, we are focusing on developing cooperative banks. And that is our focus. We don't have. If we have, it will be one or two or three. And that will not help us to transform the economy. So this meeting is very, very serious. It's a meeting that wants to facilitate a situation where we get out of our cocoons. We don't defend ourselves. We look at a bigger picture of the country and say, are we going to continue in the manner we have been doing things, or we are going to change gear? And it's not a blame game kind of a meeting. Those who want to attack each other, but attacking the Payemyango, not in this meeting of this portfolio committee. In this meeting of this portfolio committee, we are going to be talking about strengths and weaknesses, and we are going to be talking about what is it that we are supposed to be doing that we have not been doing. I didn't sleep well because of a judgment. FVPS. VBS Pella is a community bank. It's one that we would have modeled on to develop cooperative banks in South Africa. And I was very much surprised, Gucci, it was only the premier of Limpopo that opposed. I thought NAPSA was going to be there, NAPSA was going to be there, BANACO was going to be there. All the structures that are here representing cooperatives were going to be, I thought they were going to be there, including the department, opposing liquidation of VBS. Because it's not VBS, the structure, that has messed up. It's individuals who have messed up with a very good concept. That decision of liquidating VBS instead of saving it is actually punishing the victims. Instead of putting people who have messed up with a very good concept, put them in jail, and then rebuild VBS. Because for me, that is the only bank I know owned by previously disadvantaged people from rural areas of Limpopo. That's the only bank I know of. And it dies at a time where there is a democratic government that had actually resolved, the ruling party had resolved to build social economy and transform the economy to the hands of the poor. And the poor in this case are those people from Limpopo who had tried on their own. I don't know whether that decision can be appealed. But for me, it is a very, very painful decision. It actually reverses everything that we would want to do. So I thought that it is important for us to share this. But before we get into that, the briefing by all these structures, we have invited Ms. Kolisa, okay, thank you. I don't know her. I have not met with her before. She just sent me information on my email and then phoned me to follow up as to whether I have seen those emails. Unfortunately, when she sent me the emails, I was in hospital. I've been in hospital for 13 days. And I got admitted on the Wednesday, the 17th, after the SARS. And that's my Nina, she said, La Fayan. And I spent the 13 days in hospital. No, I'm just joking, you didn't do anything. It's an old infection that they were failing to detect. But I'm okay now. Oh, Cornelius' complaint is about, you know that there are licenses that were issued to independent power producers. We all know about that. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then the independent power producers identify areas with raw materials. In our language of community development, say community assets. So independent power producers identified community assets in a form of wind or sun or waterfall or waste, whatever that can be used, which is found in communities to actually generate energy, because they already have a license and the technology, and the community has these assets. And then the community has to be engaged to allow these people who have been given licenses, who have technologies but who don't have the assets. And then people like Kwenedlu are then contracted. They are called stakeholder managers to go and social facilitators to then call the community to come and engage with the so-called investors. Because for me, if you coming to take my assets and you are called an investor, I wouldn't see you as an investor. But that's not a debate for today. So she's going to tell us what are the issues that made her to write. Because I felt, besides she's not being paid, but this committee and these people seated here needed to hear what she's going to say. So that we don't think of why we more must want about what I call Obeni Bello. But you know, mining will take place here. Think of why we more when people chase away the independent power producers as much as they will be coming with licenses and technology. Because openness also shall go to what's happening in that process. So, without wasting more time, we'll ask then Ucinindlu. We'll take the apologies first, and then we will ask her to give us a brief presentation on what is happening in those communities. I suspect your presentation will deal with what is happening to you as a small business, and what is happening in communities in the process of engaging. Yes. Let's take the apologies.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members. Good morning, colleagues and cooperators. Chairperson, I received the apology of Honorable Bewa and the apology of Honorable Mtembu and Honorable Baba, and as well as the apologies for the minister and the deputy minister of the department. So those are the apologies that we have received. also indicated that he would request to leave the meeting. Right now, I'm seeing the end of Honorable Chance. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, King. Chair, I have to leave at 10 to 1 today.
Honorable Cobb.
If the meeting goes beyond 13 hours, I'll have to be excused 13 hours.
Before we take, there is an announcement that we need to make before other members leave, those who have asked for apologies. The NCOP is taking Parliament. There's a program of the NCOP called Taking Parliament to the People. And they have invited certain committees which relate to the program that they will be doing. They are visiting Gauteng, and this committee is one of those committees because of the issues that they will be focusing on. Chairpersons of portfolio committees that have been identified were called to meet with the House chairperson to discuss how the committees that have been identified will participate in the process. What was then agreed was that that program is a program of the NCOP. However, we are one structure. It is important for these portfolio committees also to get exposed to what the NCOP has identified as areas of responsibility for these committees. But also the program of Parliament is such that we will be processing legislation at that time. And therefore, the entire committee can't go, but two members from each committee would have to go. And the chairpersons were then asked to comment with me. What is their view, how they think that should be taken, undertaken. And in my view, I identify to Honorable Mabasa because it comes from Gauteng, and Honorable Chan because he also comes from Gauteng. They were also part of the oversight. So it's one member from the ruling party and one member from the main opposition party, because it's only two members are allowed. That is my proposal. I would want the members to then respond.
Actually, I didn't get the dates. What are the dates? What are the dates for this oversight?
From the 19th to the 23rd of November. Can we agree on that one?
Not unless the nominated members have otherwise I suppose second that these two members go participate.
Give them an opportunity to respond.
Chair, I'm going to need to talk to my whip before I can confirm my attendance. But if you could, do you have a program yet? On when do you expect to get it?
It was coordinated through the Office of the House Chairperson together with the NCOP.
Okay. I'll have to come back to you. Thank you.
Honourable Mabas.
On my side, it's okay.
Any comments?
I was just trying to on our chance basis, we'll come back to you. I don't know how long will that take, because as soon as the committees are created, it is expected that we have to put an application for form to the House.
Honourable Chan.
I wasn't listening. Could you repeat that, okay?
I'll say, according to communique that we received, is that after members have agreed, we have to make an application of those names to the House Chairperson and submit it by 4 p.m. today on Wednesday. So that is why I was trying to find out how long.
Okay. I suggest you put my name in the application. And I will talk to our whip, and if there's any problem, I'll let you know.
Thank you very much. Can we then move to the briefing by Ms. Emily?
Good morning, honourable members of the committee, and good morning to you ladies and gentlemen present. My name is Kolisa Kolinje, as indicated, and I'm the owner of a company called, my clan name is African, which is an organization or private company that deals mostly with democratic elections privately, just like the IEC does, but on a private level, where we assist companies, unions, political parties, and any other organizations that would be interested in free and fair democratic elections conducted for them. I firstly would like to apologize for the clumsy looking document. When you are an unpaid small business, you end up with work that is not quite up to standard. But to the committee members that have the files that are provided, the top document I have just put there for the purpose of indicating just before I proceed that it contains a clause which is a confidentiality clause, and it lists how the information between ourselves and the client, which is NL Green Power, could be disclosed or not disclosed. And I would like your leadership or your guidance if you feel that I should be presenting this to you, but my mind is made up to say, due to no cooperation from the side of the organization that has employed my services, I then have no other home to go to with my problems. Thus, I'm here today. In 2015, we received a call from a lady called Lisa Gadlepo. She told me that she's an employee of a company called NL Green Power. She told me that she has heard that our company provides independent elections and requested that I send her our profile, a company profile. She also indicated that I might be called to make a presentation, which I was later invited to. NL Green Power is a renewable energy company operating in various provinces of South Africa. And on attending that meeting, the officials present in that meeting indicated the reason for them calling us was to actually take them or explain to them a step-by-step process of conducting community elections, because they have no idea of how to go about it. They also requested us that I provide them the list of other or the names of other service providers, which I gladly did. And they later called for proposals, and they attached the scope of works, indicating the wind farm to which those trustees should be nominated or elected. And they gave us six wind farms that are situated in seven areas in various parts of the Republic. We have also attached the documents that we received from them. It's marked the scope of works. We are also having attached the proposal that we have sent to them. After submitting that proposal and after a lot of exchanges, misunderstandings and clarifications, and sometimes not getting the real clarification that you're looking for, we received an engagement letter indicating that we've been awarded 3 wind farms. The other 3 were awarded to another company. Not Jolly Wind Farm and the Jeffreys Bay Wind Farm are in the Eastern Cape, and Palais Yeovil is in the Western Cape. We have attached here with Non-Jolly Wind Farm Community Trust Engagement Letter, which talks to our engagement with them. But after receiving that letter, we had to have a first meeting with them where we would clarify exactly what should happen and indicate to them how they should go about it. And when we presented the questions of clarity to EGP team, they told us that they have no answers for us as they don't know the process. So, Rona, we've been appointed and we must just do the work because we've been appointed. The team leader even refused to receive that list of questions. Some of the questions were very critical to designing the process because if you don't know the term of office that the trustees are being elected to, you will have no answers as an electoral officer to tell them when you talk to them. They had no idea of those stakeholders. They didn't know the population. In fact, when we put together the proposal, we had to go and find the populations in those areas. And when we realized that we were not going further with far with the request of clarity, we indicated that it is important for them to understand the process and make a proper input so that there can be no misunderstanding during the process. But the lady said she'll never conduct elections in her lifetime, so she's not even interested. But then that indicated to us that this is not the attitude that is outlined on their call for proposal to conduct a legal and a free and fair and to ensure the maximum participation of those communities. The attitude of the officials was not in line with the manner in which the proposals were called. We then requested that at least they provide us one official that will be allocated to work with us so that at least they can witness the processes. We were told that there are stakeholder managers in those areas and they are there for that purpose. We were later provided with their names, but we became aware at a later stage that those people were also not officials of the EGP, but they were service providers themselves. The first process that we conducted was the one in the Western Cape, Palais Yeovil. It went very well. It was successfully conducted, even though at the end we realized that the way they were interpreting the results is because they did not want to understand the process from the beginning. But that did not cause any problem. We left it at that. The problem started with the non-Jolly Wind Farm election. Before we conduct an election, we go and talk to stakeholders. We look for stakeholders. We find stakeholders. Even if we are given a list, we still look for other stakeholders in that community who might not be aware of the process so that at least the process can be inclusive or they can be buy-in from everyone in the community. In the request for proposals, it was stated that Non-Jolly Wind Farm is in Bedford. So we looked for the population of Bedford. We worked out what would be the people of voting age and then minus what is supposed to be the people that are not of voting age. And we based our quotation on the population of Bedford. But when we got to the first meeting with stakeholders, we then realized that we were actually talking to people of Bedford, Adelaide, Somerset East and Cook House, and they were there as stakeholders of Non-Jolly Wind Farm. And we realized that this will then really cause a problem because it changes everything. This is especially after we've been verbally given the population in those various towns. And then we realized that based on the 3,000 that the client has insisted upon, they said we can only enroll 3,000 people in that community. We explained that voting does not happen like that. you have to register people in that particular community. You don't have to have a cutting point or a number that you put before people could be registered. But they did not listen. And when we realized that the population will be more than the 3,000, in fact, the reason they said 3,000, they said people there drink too much, so they have no hope that they will even present themselves to come and register to participate in this process. That was somehow very disappointing for a community of human beings to just be thought of like a group of people who would not have an interest in something that is happening in their own community. So the response we got was also not very helpful when we explained that to them. But when we realized that this will be more than the 3,000, we immediately wrote a letter to Mr. Bismarck indicating that what happens if people are more than 3,000. The response he gave us was not helpful. He said he's given us a job. Can we do it or are we failing? And we must let him know if he can do this job or not. And because he has given us, he has outlined to us how they pay overtime. We sent a letter starting from scratch to indicate to them that the nature of our business cannot determine when they'll be overtime. If you don't provide us with an official to be there to witness that after 5 o'clock when we were to knock off 5,000 pitched and we had to process those people, we need a witness and we also need to be allocated somebody who's authorized to actually agree to the overtime that we were told we can only request in writing. And these things happen after hours, so when you send an email after hours, they could only see it the next morning, and there's no way of dealing with that. And for us, that becomes a crisis, because when people show up, all we have to do is to conduct the process as they are there to be processed. So after that letter, we never heard from Mr. Bismarck. He never responded. In short, a lot has happened during the process, but we currently don't have all the documents because our computers crashed. Some of our computers have been stolen. Our email host has actually closed off our system. We don't have those emails that we corresponded, we used to correspond with them. So we just have very few information, but hopefully if we get a little more time, we'll be able to dig and see if we can have some information from other people that we used to work with who might have hard copies. But here's the dispute that we have with NL Green Power. Upon submitting our voting progress report, this is because people registered, we had to go out there, employ the people to go door to door registering people, and people registered. We had a number of more than 9,000 people who had registered. But on the date of voting, people did not come to vote. So at that point, we could not go to NL and say we have the results because people were very few. All we had to do was to now go and talk to the PSCs, who are the people that are dealing with the community issues within Nojoli Wind Farm. So upon submitting the progress report, which is marked Nojoli Wind Farm Trustee Election 2017, and the invoice based on the 3,000 participants, and indicating that the total number of people enrolled is more than 3,000, the client demanded that we provide them with the actual registers where these people were registered, we obliged. We sent an invoice for the extra participants enrolled. Now, if you have more than 9,000 people enrolled and you charge the client for 3,000, surely that client owes you money for the difference of that number. We sent an invoice for the extra participants enrolled. The client then demanded that we bring the actual forms completed by participants. We agreed to bring those forms, but refused to leave them with the client. We were also required to verify the forms one by one in front of an official appointed by the client to witness that process. Now, this happens at the point when we've not been paid for many months, and I had to take my staff that were not paid to go and verify these documents. After verification, it was agreed that some papers be removed and the remainder be regarded as the final figure. This was also going to be discussed and decided by the board, as we were told. We must emphasize that the client takes a long time to respond to emails, and as such, it took some time before we were invited again back to that company. When when the invitation finally happened, we were told that EGP has considered the fact that both parties have not adhered to the contract, and for that reason, they offered to pay us 90,000 of more than 500,000 that was invoiced. The fact that we conducted the process, enrolling the people exceeding the 3,000 prescribed, was said to be without authorization from them, and so they said they did not instruct us to enroll more than 3,000 people. Our view then is this, that the client did not have the community's interest at heart. The fact that we are expected to ensure maximum participation and produce free and fair elections was never intended by EGP. In our proposal, we have said to them we can enroll people, register them on a computerized system where we can collect all their data and then we create a voter's roll via a computer. But we also indicated in many parts of our proposal that most of these things will be dependent upon the situation within that community or the circumstances of that particular community. When we were faced with the four towns, there was no way that we would identify a school or a hall and ask for that accommodation and sit there and wait for people to walk from far from within those communities to walk into that place to come and register themselves. And as such, we decided to devise another plan that will ensure maximum participation. By going into the community, advertising to the youth of the community, we employed young people in each community to go and created a registration form for them to go door-to-door registering the people. That is how we managed to get more than 3,000 people. So they said they did not instruct us to do that, even though in Palaisiego we also did a door-to-door process, because the community wall and the township where the people live is quite far from each other, and it was very hot in Palaisiego. People couldn't walk.
Could you wrap up now? Don't go
thank
into
you,
those
thank
details.
You, thank you.
You have given us
okay,
what the issues are.
Okay, we have sent them a proposal of 350,000, and we took it off the table because of the way they were treating us. But out of frustration, we indicated that the 350,000 is off the table. We would like to indicate that should the client have dealt with our company in good faith and professionally, I would not be here requesting this committee to intervene. I am currently faced with the following situations. My company is not operational due to lack of funds. The bank account has since been closed by the bank. We owe SARS money. The three people that we employed have no jobs. Family members are owed money. I personally have no income. My property and one of my staff members is threatened by the bank to be repossessed. I'm unable to support my bedridden mother, whose pension is used to buy adult nappies. I still have outstanding debt relating to EGP processes. The situation has affected me emotionally and otherwise. I had to use services of lawyers whom I owe money to. I had to ask family and friends to help to attend this meeting. The client has never communicated to us what would happen to the Jeffreys Bay process that they've appointed us to. A lot has happened with this project, and we have lots of documents that we don't have, but we can that can show that this process was not in good faith. We can confirm that the client sent us a letter last year to indicate that the communities were dissatisfied with the democratic elections. They confirmed that EGP will conduct the processes internally. We apologize for presenting you with the incomplete information, but hope for an opportunity to be able to forward all necessary information to your office should it be required. Where there are typo errors, we sincerely apologize as documents were compiled in haste. In closing, our request to this committee is to intervene in the matter, as we do not know how to deal with EGP again. Also, because their scorecard, their BEE scorecard, has, I think, become very positive because of the people that we employed in this business, in this project, even though those people currently have no income and have no employment. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I think that you have put your case very clearly. There are two issues before members engage. There are two issues. There's an issue of a relationship between the company that contracted my clan name is African, which borders again on the issues that we have been dealing with of big companies bullying small companies. Then there is an issue that requires the focus of this committee, which is a much broader issue. The issue of community participation in the economy and processes that are followed in establishing the trust, the so-called trust, which I think that it's a broader aspect that this committee needs to deal with if we're talking economic transformation. How these trusts are established? Are these trusts a source of conflict in the community? Is there any economic transformation and ownership as a result of a trust, or we can find better ways of empowering communities? That is the broader issue that this committee needs to look at. I will then open an opportunity for members to ask questions of charity. We will not be able to discuss this matter in depth because we put it through the window. But it is important because we are having these discussions today also. Honorable Chan.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Colisa, for the presentation. Look, there's a lot of information here to digest, first of all. So we're not going to be able to give you categorical answers. As the Chair said, we don't have a lot of time. First of all, let me ask you, how long has your business been operational? And how many of these community election or election projects have you conducted?
My
Because our meeting. Okay. I started conducting elections long before 1994 when I was working for the Independent Mediation Service of South Africa, where I was trained as an electoral officer. So if I were to count the number of community elections that I've conducted and the community elections that have been conducted by my company, that will be lost.
So you would describe yourself as an expert in the field?
Yes, sir.
And when you were... Sorry, Chair, do you mind my... Yeah. When you were first engaged by this company, they asked you to give them more details of other companies involved.
Yes, sir.
And how many of those companies did you recommend?
Two that
Two.
I know of.
And did they also tender for this business?
I think so, because one of them got the tender, so yes.
Okay. Having looked at Enel Green Power's website just now, they're a big company. They operate in 36 countries. And they have a very impressive reading sustainability, vision or program. But you said that the woman that you engaged with, or the person you engaged with, said they've never done this type of thing before. So, in other words, they were not experienced in involving communities in projects.
Yes, sir. That was said on the first meeting when I was called to tell them how it works. Yes, sir.
Okay. Just, obviously we're only hearing your side of the story at this point, but the contract and the milestones and the payment process, was that properly understood and negotiated and agreed to by both parties before you conducted, you initiated the project?
It was not properly negotiated, but it was agreed to, because as a small business, I wouldn't have let an opportunity pass. But the challenges were explained, because they said anything that would happen that is not in the contract should be indicated beforehand, especially what would affect the financials. So we indicated that the 3,000 situation is not going to work, and surely anybody would understand that that will have an impact on the cost of the project.
Just one final question, Chair. Do you not think it was unwise of you to actually start working when there was a fundamental disagreement as to the nature of the contract?
I saw nothing wrong, because I was told, I had an instruction to ensure maximum participation of communities. It is EGP that misrepresented itself by telling us about one town when they actually expected us to conduct elections in four towns. And in fact, they said themselves that they've always known that North Joli has four towns, even though on their request for quotation they didn't say that. So when they were quoted based on the town that they put on the specification.
And the courts?
Pardon, sir?
You said you've engaged the courts.
No, I've employed the lawyers.
Employed the lawyer?
Yes, sir.
And what have they done for you?
Nothing. Nothing much, because they are also being bullied by EGP. They don't get responses.
Okay. Thanks, Chair.
Honourable Mabasa, followed by Honourable Nesha.
No, thanks, thanks, ma'am, for the input. I think this falls directly under the general problems that we have experienced coming from small businesses and cooperatives, where big business bullies small business. But at the same time, let's note that it's not only bullying in the sense of big versus small, but it's also bullying taking into account the racial connotations, our history, the history of our country, so that, you know, taking that as a point, you will then find that indirectly, most bullying companies will be white companies, as per South African situation, and the bullied will mostly be black companies. You know, that's one matter. But the other matter, the fact that cooperatives are not yet strong, it also makes them to be a lame duck for this type of situation. So I will think that there should be two approaches. The one is the short-term approach, which focuses on the issue at hand. But then the second will be the general approach, which we have discussed before. It just shows that it is important that there is urgency on our part to come up with an approach of how to resolve issues of this nature. Thanks, Comrade Chair.
Honourable Nesha, followed by Honourable Kruger.
Thank you, Chairperson. While we understand the problem of big business bullying small business, there are three questions I would like to ask. And the first one is, why Konisa did not insist on agreements being in writing? As an experienced business person, one would expect an experienced businesswoman to know that if things are not in writing, people can change their opinion, people can change their statements. So my first question is, with the experience she has, why she did not insist on agreements being in writing? And secondly, she said the email host closed them down. Would you know the reason why the host would close them down, did they owe them, or what could be the reason why the host shut them down? The third one, they registered about 9,000 people in the community, but they did not come during elections. Does she think they were intimidated, or what could have been the reason why those registered voters did not show up? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I don't want to become involved in a rank debate, and I think it was unfair of my colleague to even suggest that white businesses are bullies. That's my first point. My second point, I just want to find out Kulisa, what is she expecting from us? What does she think we must do in her case? Because experience of this bullying, you know, if I look at Vodacom, we tried our best to solve the Vodacom problem, and we just ran into those walls. So I would like to get from her some advice of what she think we must do, number one. And number two, Jay, it's evident that we must get that ombudsman situation as soon as possible. Because if the Small Business Act is finalized, or was finalized already, I mean, that would have given the ombudsman or whoever we're going to call that, whatever we're going to call that person, enough teeth to sort out small businesses' problems. So I think we must make sure that the Small Business Act get implemented as soon as possible. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable
Chair, if I buy the last comment from Honourable Kruger, to me that would mean that if we want to be honest and fair to ourselves, let's not continue engaging on it. It's good, we have this information, we also have experiences, this has happened before. Maybe at this moment, let's ask this to be at the office of the chair so that it can be decided or planned later how to handle this based on the previous experiences. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Honourable Mother.
No, it's... I'm just following up on a matter that... we are apparently debating with Honourable Kruger. I think the reality in South Africa, we must accept that there has been apartheid. And we must also accept that political equality has been achieved, but economic equality has not been achieved. It's something that we all have to struggle for. Black and white, even white people must be worried that we don't have yet economic equality. So that it's a premise from which we must move so that we are able to get to solutions. But if we want to imagine that there hasn't been any apartheid, the results over all those many years are not there, we are going to get to wrong solutions. But I don't take it that we should debate this matter now. It's just that I suggest it's something that we will have to debate in future, because today we have these guests with us so that we don't waste their time. But I'm not particularly saying this case is racially based. That's not what I imply. But I say generally, in the monopolistic situation of most companies in South Africa, most of the companies are owned by white people. You know, it's just a historic fact. So it's a fact that from which we must move most of the time when we do our analysis. If we move from the analysis that says all are equal, we will get to wrong solutions. But I don't know how we can avoid a debate between myself and other members of the committee, because I suggest we discuss this matter in another meeting in our portfolio committee, but not today. Thanks.
Honorable Kroger.
Madam Chair, and I agree 100% what my colleague just said now. We all know there was apartheid. I mean, I'm one of the first persons that realized it, and I know about, and I know we must fix the quality and the differences, the redress the differences of the past. But if we heard him correctly, he said white companies bullying. He was implying that white companies are bullying smaller business. And I was worrying about the word bullying in connection with white companies. That's all I'm worried about. And I don't think we must, per application, say because this company is owned by white people, they're going to automatically bully smaller companies. That is not on. And that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying anything else.
Can I give a ruling in on the basis of three things? One, what has been presented to us today is what we already knew from the interaction with companies, big companies and small companies in the telecommunication industry. What we did not know from those interactions was how communities are engaged, which is what is being brought up by an Andrew. In a community that has got four towns, and then you engage only one town, the outcome of that is the conflict in the community. Because those members who are excluded in that process are going to fight with the members who are included in the process. And who would have created that conflict in this community? It's the company that doesn't understand how this community lives, which is what Ms. Qinindlu is bringing up to our attention. Because this is not the only company that has got a license. There are 27 of them. Besides the fact that consideration should have been made to look at how we bring communities in the context of the social economy to participate. And this is the committee that has to bring all those issues up to the attention of the powers, because the Portfolio Committee on Energy and the Ministry on Energy is not versed with those issues. Those issues are better understood by this committee, that there is something called social economy. There is something called community asset. The wind belongs to the community. You can't only recognize that the company has got a technology. This company can stay with the technology and have no energy unless the community is also recognized as a key player in this economy, because the asset that is going to be used
belongs to the community. That is what this committee has to actually understand and fight for communities, because this portfolio committee is responsible for ensuring that legislation and the playing field actually accommodates communities and small businesses. And in this case, it's the communities that are going to be robbed. Because if in a town, if in a community that has got four towns, then the community and stakeholder engagement is only restricted to one town. That is the source of conflict. And we need to bring that to the attention of the people. The second issue is the very issuing of licenses, which takes us back to what we are used to, of a few people participating in a trust, and that money not going to the community, but remaining with a few who are trust members. And it is the responsibility, again, of this committee to correct that. So I am agreeing with the people that are saying, let us park this. We have heard you. Thank you very much. We are going to have two different processes. A process that addresses your issues with the said companies, to also bring it to their attention. Maybe they are not aware of what they are doing and how we look at it. We will facilitate that. Then there is a broader issue that this committee needs to engage on. How these companies are going to engage communities. And I'm sure Mr. Padu sitting there is itching, because Yana would have come with a very different formula to engage communities, not the failed trusts that we know. Because those assets are actually supposed to be developing communities economically. And it is the communities that are supposed to be identifying who their partners, strategic partners with technology, are going to be, not the other way around. So let us pass this. We will revisit it. And we are working on issues that this committee has to put on the table and focus on in terms of legislation. This is a legislative arm. And when we legislate, we must legislate in a manner that is going to assist us to transform the economy. Can we move to the next item? Thank you very much. I will be in touch with you to deal with the matter that you came here to. But in our process, when you come to present to us, we also need to bring them in so that we hear their side of the story, but over and above that, we educate them as well. Thank you. We have invited... The first presentation will be from NAFSA, the National Apex Cooperative of South Africa. I don't know whether it's called like that. Like that? Okay. Over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you, Members of Parliament. And thank you to fellow esteemed cooperatives. Chairperson, really thank you from the bottom of our hearts for inviting us here today and for always thinking about cooperatives. We are grateful and admire the passion and support that you have for cooperatives, and you have never failed us. The theme that everybody sees is a theme that we were asked to speak to, the role of NACSA on cooperative development. We might understand cooperative development differently. However, what we are going to present as NACSA is what we understand cooperative development to be. And also, we didn't read it from any book. We didn't read it from any paper researched in the library. It is what we experience on a daily basis. The background. The main focus of the two decades was on democratization of the state and society, and it is safe to say that democracy has been achieved. This decade and beyond intends to focus on economic transformation. There is a lot of noise that we hear on a daily basis, sometimes almost sounding like a rhetoric. The economy of the country...
I see members looking at another presentation. This one is from
NACSA.
NACSA. Not NASA.
NACSA.
NACSA.
Yeah, I think you read it on this.
Is it coming?
That gentleman
went to
him
at
the
picture.
Okay.
Okay. You
can continue.
Thank you, Chair. Apologies. The economy of the country is mainly in the hands of private capital and is also dominated by men. So I'm basically echoing your sentiments, Chairperson. This created an opportunity for cooperatives to be established. At times we might think that, oh my God, this is a nightmare. But actually, it is not a nightmare. It is an opportunity that lends itself to cooperatives. We need to create decent employment for all. We have to eliminate poverty. It is important to democratize ownership and control of the economy. Restructure the economy so that it meets basic human needs for all. The country must come up with extraordinary measures to address the needs of the cooperatives, as they are still at the lowest echelons of the economic landscape. They are, in fact, the poorest of the poor. To this end, a new breed of entrepreneurs under the leadership of NACSA are committed to lead the cooperatives across the social spectrum to participate in transforming the economy through the establishment of a vibrant cooperative ecosystem. Sorry for that spelling. Cooperative development. We locate cooperative development in the economic system of South Africa as a whole, being a mixed economy that has been adopted by government. And within that mixed economy is the cooperative ecosystem. As NACSA, we are committed in leading South Africa to build cooperatives in all spheres of the cooperative ecosystem. The status of cooperatives in South Africa, I'm going to skip that slide. And go to that one. Honorable Chairperson, you always talk about the mortality rate. And this is the mortality rate in terms of provinces. 88 in KZN, 87 Northwest, 83 Gauteng, 87 Mpumalanga, 78 Limpopo, 93 Western Cape, 93 Eastern Cape, 97 Northern Cape, and 92 Free State. Honorable members and fellow cooperators, you can see that the cooperative movement is in dire straits in South Africa. My apologies. It is for this reason that the National Apex Cooperative of South Africa was formed. NACSA was founded by 25 cooperative tertiary organizations at a conference that took place in Pretoria on the 24th and 25th of June 2016. NACSA was founded in terms of its constitution and in compliance with the amended Cooperatives Act 2013, that is yet, it has been promulgated, sorry. NACSA leadership was also elected at the conference. NACSA is the apex elect, we believe that we are, the apex elect. It was formed in compliance with requirements that are entrenched and articulated in the amended act. NACSA was formed in compliance with a resolution that was taken in Taung, Northwest in 2015 by all tertiary cooperatives that were in attendance. Our vision is that we are the voice of South African cooperatives united in building a vibrant and inclusive cooperative economy. NACSA Unites represents and capacitates cooperatives by harnessing knowledge and technology for radical socio-economic transformation and sustainable development. As soon as we were established, we then held a strategic session, and at the strategic session developed the following 7 strategic goals: financial self-sustainability, human capital development, market development and access, lobbying and advocacy, building organizational capacity and effectiveness, knowledge resources, and developing and sustaining the soul of NACSA. The first one has got to do with financial self-sustainability through establishment, obviously, of as many cooperative banks as possible. Insofar as this is concerned, our member, NACFISA, will deal with it. So I will not really go into how we are going to create this financial self-sustainability. NACFISA is in the house, and because they are our members, they will take the house through that. Our second goal is human capital development. We determine and meet training needs of cooperatives through countrywide roadshows, designed competency profiling dictionaries, with provision of tailor-made training across various sectors. And we also offer training on basics of cooperative concepts, philosophy, and principles through a partnership with the Department of Small Business Development, as well as a partnership with DGRV, market development and access. This is our greatest focus because we believe that we owe it to our members to assist them to thrive within the cooperative movement. And hence I said earlier on that we didn't pull this from no textbook or we didn't do a research. It is actually practical work that we do on the ground. We've established and, we've decided that we will pioneer 6 economic sectors within the cooperative ecosystem, namely the cooperative bank, agriculture, transport, consumer, manufacturing, and ICT. In agriculture, we are spearheaded by 3 tertiary cooperatives in KZN. They have over 80 primary cooperatives who are growers of vegetables, and earning an income. You know, we always, and we know that there's an 88% mortality rate, but there's also a good side and good work that we are doing as cooperatives in order to redress this particular mortality rate situation. They've created access to markets and developed value chains in production and processing. They are leading in food security sphere. The cooperatives receive training through a partnership with ADA. A few members of these tertiary organizations are well known for achieving both local and international awards. And one of these tertiary organizations, their leadership, they're here, present, both ladies sitting at the back there, on Nantanta, so we are not telling a story. The transport sector brought together transport SMMEs, business in Limpopo, Mpumalanga, and Northern Cape to form purchasing cooperatives, enabling these business to these businesses to leverage from their purchasing power in Limpopo. In Limpopo, we've got 45 primary cooperatives from existing commuter transport business, 5 regional secondary cooperatives, 1 provisional tertiary cooperative. It was a lot of work that went into this. Mpumalanga, 31 primary cooperatives from existing commuter transport businesses, 3 regional secondary cooperatives, 1 provincial tertiary cooperative. In the Northern Cape, 19 primary cooperatives that we formed from existing commuter transport businesses, 3 regional secondary cooperatives, and 1 provincial tertiary cooperative. I'm here with the chairperson of NACSA, and he is the one operating within this particular space that I've just taken the house through. Consumer. The consumer cooperatives are mainly based in Gauteng. It's a primary consumer chairperson operating from Soweto in Gauteng, and they are a number-driven cooperative model. They have paid up members, and the members in this primary cooperative are 297. It is controlled by women. There are a few men, but the majority of them are women. Their focus is FMCG bulk buying and money saving, based on the principle of high quality and low price. They have an equal share in enterprise dividends and equal votes in decision making, etc. And I think you get the message that we do have these consumer cooperatives existing. And I am a member of that consumer cooperative, and the ladies at the back here are also members of that consumer cooperative. We have another one based in the Northern Cape. They have 600 women in that organization. WAPIS is still setting them up, but what is important about these women in the Northern Cape is that through their own savings, they were able to save to the tune of 4 million. So in their coffers, they have 4 million to set up their consumer cooperatives, but they also want to branch out in other sectors. In addition, they would like to set up a CFI. And this proves that we are working. We believe in cooperatives. We believe that it will be able, through cooperatives, we'll be able to really change the economic mainstream of this country. Manufacturing. Manufacturing is slowly rearing its head. Cooperatives in the northern, in Northwest and Limpopo are especially manufacturing bricks and aluminium frames on a large scale. A few cooperatives manufacture rail products and other heavy-duty construction products. In ICT, cooperatives in the Western Cape are well advanced in providing an ERP system to other cooperatives. Recently, the same cooperative provided a live video conferencing service at the SBDI colloquium that took place in Gauteng in Beachwood. This also entails the provision of a banking platform to CFIs. We have some primary cooperatives that are currently in the installation of optic fiber. Our business is also to lobby and advocate as NACSA. In the 2 years of existence, we're a very young organization, but we boast of our achievements. Yes, we do have other challenges, but we are sharing with you what it is that we have achieved within a short period of 2 years. So in the 2 years of our existence, NACSA has a well-defined lobbying and advocacy agenda that spans across local, regional, and global terrain. But for now, we're especially focusing on the local terrain because we believe that belonging to organizations such as BRICS and big organizations in NADLEC and so on, there's no trickling down effect so far to our cooperatives. So we're especially busy with advocacy work that benefits directly our members, and especially those primary cooperatives as well as secondary cooperatives. The advocacy work has resulted in the recognition of NACSA by all levels of government departments, private sector and business organizations. NACSA has a healthy relationship with DGRV, a German APEX cooperative. One of our other strategic goals is building organizational capacity and effectiveness. That is internal in terms of how we build our organization, so I'd like to skip that one. We also are about developing knowledge, resources, and innovation capabilities. It is important that we protect the NACSA IP, develop resource centers, establish industrial sector centers of excellence. This is very important to us. So as we go about building and assisting our cooperatives, we really are beginning to lay those bricks to establish these industrial sectors and these centers of excellence. Very important. And especially the ladies in KZN in agriculture, they've already started doing that. We are all about developing IT. IT, you know, everything that we talk about is underpinned by IT. And it is important that we identify competent personnel and have in-house intelligent capabilities. It is important to sustain the soul of NACSA because we want to stay and stick very closely to the 7 universal principles. And in doing so, we are in the process of commissioning research and study defining the soul of cooperative businesses, facilitating programs across the cooperative hierarchy to educate cooperatives on the soul of cooperatives. And we also intend to award cooperatives that best demonstrate that they conduct their businesses in line with cooperative principles. We also have a few challenges. There's a slide on our challenges. Pardon? Okay, thank you. No. I'll have to speak from there. Okay. We have a few challenges as NACSA. The biggest challenge that is facing all of us is the high mortality rate of cooperatives. It has to bother us. It has to give us sleepless nights as cooperatives. That is what we need to work towards in order to create a vibrant society. Now, we do have a problem with lack of resources. We don't get any funding from government. We basically fund NACSA from our own pockets. Those of our cooperatives who are doing well are the ones who actually sustain NACSA, as well as a lot of support, both financial and in-kind support from DGRV. We have a lot of government interference within the cooperative space, also because of lack of understanding of cooperatives. We don't really get full that support that we require from small business development. And when I say we, I'm talking about cooperatives from the national level right up till the primary cooperative level. There is a poor understanding of the cooperative business model in South Africa, and it's something that we need to address. And I'm happy to hear, Chairperson, the decision that has been made regarding the fact that there will be a summit hosted for cooperatives, because there are all kinds of summits held, but this one that is so, so important, because through cooperatives, you know, we will be able to solve poverty in this country, but very little attention is given to that by our government. There are low levels of education within the cooperative sector. There's a lot of infighting within the cooperatives, and we need to put it out there. We're not only going to point fingers out there and say government this, government that, private sector this or the other, but we also need to be inwardly focused and criticize ourselves internally. There's also, you know, there's corruption. Corruption is rampant in South Africa. It did not escape us as cooperatives. Chairperson and honorable members, as NACSA, we've written a letter to you, Chairperson, regarding corruption within cooperatives. I believe that as a portfolio committee, you do know that one of the organizations were investigated. We've been trying to get a report from the department, from the presidency, and our efforts in getting this report, because we believe that it's a report that is owed to us as cooperatives, because we're an interested party, plus we are voting members of this country. You know, we were impressed by what we saw here this morning. The lady that came here to present her problem, we believe that we will also be assisted. There's no need for us to run to court to get a report that is owed to us by SIU. They have investigated this matter, found out that 39 million was embezzled, not accounted for. It cannot be right that it must be swept under the carpet, especially because now, you know, the new amended act has been signed, it has been promulgated, an APEF body must be formed. We must all be given an opportunity to prove ourselves, because in terms of the Cooperative Act, you cannot be a director, and I'm happy that CIPC is here. You cannot be a director in cooperatives when, you know, your affairs are not in order. So it is only fair that even the people who are involved be given a chance to get this report to see whether they are cleared, or, you know, there must be an explanation of what happened to this money. I think we are owed that explanation. 39 million is a lot of money within cooperatives. It might be little money in big business, but in cooperatives, there's a lot that we could have done with that money, and we believe that as a portfolio committee, it is your business as an oversight. We cannot run anywhere else. We've written to the department. We are now blue in our faces, and we really honestly need your help. I thank you, honorable members and fellow cooperators. Our conclusion is that this is indeed a decade for cooperatives. We are firmly dedicated to contributing to the GDP of South Africa. We are making those small and not even small leaps. Yes, there's the high mortality rate within the cooperative landscape. It belongs to the dustbin of poverty. We are going to succeed as cooperatives because we are passionate and we spend sleepless nights, and we do want to participate in the mainstream economy of our country. I thank you.
Thank you very much. We will take all the presentations and then discuss them collectively. Can we then have the presentation by NASA?
representatives of NASA. You will just introduce your team and go right ahead to make the introduction.
Thank you, Chairperson, and we want to offer our gratitude to the Chairperson, the Honorable Chairperson, and the Honorable Portfolio Committee for giving us an opportunity to share our views as the National Cooperative Association of South Africa about how we understand the status of the cooperative movement to be and what is it that we think could be a possible solution. We note the fact that we're given only 15 minutes to make a presentation, and we don't want to give or to bite the hand that gives us that cooperation. So we just want to zoom into the most important slides where we want to really to dwell much on. We understand that we are preaching to the converted, given the fact that there's been agenda of cooperatives by the committee for some time. So what is very important then, as NASA, is just to deal with what do you think is very important. First of all, it is to clarify upon this particular story of an organization that is called Moribout. As we all know, that NASA was registered that under the Act of 1981 in 1996, and over the years, it has played a very vital role towards the transformation of the Act, changing it from the old old administration so that it accommodates other sectors of cooperative in the new administration. So with the promulgation of the 2005 Act, NASA found itself that as it was registered in 1981 Act, the work that it was doing, which was then the work which was considered to be the work of a tertiary at the moment or an apex in terms of the Act, it is then devolved to be done by the secondaries. So in that, the proclamation of 2005 Act then left NASA in what you call a technical moribund, as I said, because it was neither incorporated as a secondary or tertiary. And as a result, it remained a primary as it is right now. And then based on that, there was a lot of work that has to do with NASA working very closely with the Department of Trade Industry under the Cooperative Unit. Very much aware that we were responsible for successful lobbying for the movement of the Cooperative Unit from agriculture to DTS so that it accommodates all sectors of economy. Then in the 2008 Cooperative Conference that we had, one of the key resolutions was to say that, having noted that there are other sectors that were facilitated by NASA, which is then in the housing sector, the insurance sector. There was a huge sector that was left aside, which in this case was the worker sector. And then the resolution was to start the facilitation of the establishment of the worker sector. And then hoping that with the establishment of the sector, then it would be easier to establish what we call an apex of apexes. And with that, we also, even after the establishment of this particular sector in 2009, we even ended up the bout or the pattern of representation at NetLeg, because NetLeg, that's where a lot of worker issues are being discussed, specifically as cooperatives playing a particular role there. And then beyond that, we already started the process again of the amendment of the Act 2005 to what you call the Act of 2013. Whereby one of the things that were not accommodated by the previous Act, it was an issue of the apex of apexes. Because what you need to understand at the moment is that the Cooperative Act of 2005, which is still inactive at the moment, it recognized tertiary cooperatives as apex cooperatives as well. So we need to clarify that so that we don't get confused. So what is also very important is to also to build, what was to build a very strong functional sector. That's what the Act of 2013 is actually emphasizing on. When you talk about functional sector, we mean from primary cooperatives, they must be functional, secondary cooperatives must be functional, and tertiary must be functional, so that eventually we can have a very functional cooperative, a cooperative organization. Now, we are very much aware of the fact that at the moment, there's a cooperative unit within the Department of Small Business Development, which keeps an eye on the day-to-day policy and strategy implementation of the Act in terms of cooperatives. And we also have the Register of Cooperatives responsible for registration of cooperatives. However, we still have a huge challenge of the reliable statistics about the formation of cooperatives broken down by sectors. This is still a challenge that we is not yet readily available from the department. Yes, in some of the presentations, they always try to give us a breakdown, but it's not yet to the point or the level that will satisfy ourselves, even the committee, in terms of the role of these cooperatives play in the economy of the country. One of the reasons why this particular cooperative, we're talking about, our colleagues were talking about the death of cooperatives, and one of the reasons is because most of these cooperatives, they exist on paper. So once cooperatives begin to exist on paper, it gives one a question that one needs to ask to say, then why were these particular cooperatives were established or formed, if they'll be established today, but in 2 or 3 days down the line, or 3 months down the line, they'll be dead. And one of the reasons is this particular push, either for political emancipation or for financial gain. And in most cases, if this does not happen, then that becomes a problem. That's why then we feel that at the end of the day, we cannot then begin to say that we have the viable cooperative movement in the country, given the fact that of this cooperative started dying. I like to always make an example of how the cooperative in our understanding should be structured. I mean, we always make comparison to COSATU. We can imagine if COSATU dependent on government for funding, what type of labor movement will that be? So we are planning to have a cooperative movement that is totally independent from government influence and government funding. Yes, government can offer a certain level of support in terms of policy and legislation, but its day-to-day running should be left to the cooperators themselves. Historically, even today, we realize that a lot of cooperatives in South Africa, those that are black-owned, are still controlled by elderly folks who have minimal skills in terms of business development. And these particular enterprises, most of them, they are started by people who are looking for jobs or unemployed people. And as a result, it's very difficult for these individuals to actually contribute to the financial well-being of these particular cooperatives. And in the long run, then it makes it very difficult for the cooperatives or such cooperatives to say that they are in line with principle number 3 of economic participation by the members of a cooperative. So as a result, then it becomes very difficult for these particular cooperative members to play a very active role in the economy of the country. And unfortunately, the politicization of the cooperatives, as I say, for political emancipation or even for financial gain, it also led to the huge mortality of cooperatives in the country. First of all, we had to look in our strategy to say that let us look the role of UNGASA vis-a-vis the 1981 Act and the current status as it stands right now. And they will realize that it's very important that UNGASA should begin to take the particular role that it played before, which is then to build the sectors of the economy. We are very much against what you called a lottery of skills of a cooperative, I mean what you normally call multi-purpose cooperatives. Because once you establish yourself as a multi-purpose cooperative, you tell us that you don't have a direction. Your objectives when you register are very clear, but then once your objective incorporates agriculture, you're doing security, you're doing catering, you're doing manufacturing, in the long run, we don't know exactly where you actually need to function. So as a result, we realize that it's very important that we should continue where we left off to start building national sectors of the of, 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 of cooperatives in the country. This is our vision, this is our mission, and the mandate, as I said, is to begin to assume the responsibility of a leading agency in this case. We don't want to find ourselves competing for space. We don't want to find ourselves calling ourselves an apex. We are not that. Our work is to give proper support for the development of the oil and the building of a very strong, vibrant, and viable cooperative movement in the country. And as a result, to provide services to different sectors of economy in the country. Our vision is to see that each and every department in the economic cluster or even a social cluster have a particular role to support cooperatives in their particular sector. Assist municipalities to draft policies that will support the preferential procurement of cooperatives, and working closely with Treasury to make sure that these particular departments where procurement is concerned, they embrace the 30% set aside that was set aside for cooperatives and SMEs in this regard. This model, what we think or what we adopted as a what you call the cooperative strategy and the structure. As you see, it talks about advocacy and the role that we, the responsibility that we do, and working with the normal sectors. And what we have developed what you call the cooperative development system. If you look at that particular development system, it's what you call the core responsibility of the movement to make sure that cooperatives on the ground, they get proper viability so that in the long run we build very strong, vibrant, independent cooperatives. There should be constant feasibility study, constant research. As we're saying that on normal basis, I mean, we're getting the report from CIPC, say that on an average, we get about 100 cooperative registered per week. If we're to get a situation whereby we get a quarterly report of newly registered cooperatives, their sectors, where they are placed, and what their capacity needs, that will going to make a job a lot more easier so that they get support in its infancy before they die. In that particular situation, then we begin to address some of the mortalities that we see cooperatives or that affect cooperatives on the ground. Constant training is one of the principles of cooperation. Principle number five that talks about constant education and training and skilling of cooperatives in the respective sectors.
Just a second. You might be aware that our chair is she's taking just some regular treatment, yes. Something that she's used to doing. So there is a little bit of some noise, but don't take it into any account. Proceed. There is no problem.
Noted, honorable member. Noted. So we also then we talk about yes, scaling of cooperative sectors, and most important also, as I said, if we were to build sectors, it would be easy or feasible to have what you call sectoral cooperative funds. I'll put an example of what is existing right now. Coming from the housing and property sector ourselves, one of the core things is that members save money towards building their own houses. And as a result, that gives an opportunity to establish what's called a sectoral cooperative fund. That when the Department of Human Settlement bring a bridging finance, or then we go acquire a loan from a private sector, we know that we've got our own funding that is going to be complemented towards this. So if we were to have a sectoral cooperative fund, then that will also assist cooperative in that particular sector not to depend on government for funding, but they become self-funding organization. In the long run, in the future, the day we establish a proper apex organization, we're going to have an apex organization that will be able to be supported financially by its sectors. And also technical expertise. We've just mentioned that most of the members from cooperatives, they don't have skills. We might have housing cooperatives, but when it comes into building a massive blocks, social housing projects, you obviously going to need professionals with technical skills. So those are the particular skills that we begin to identify and build different sectors in terms of the skills that is required per sector. And that on its own also, financial contribution will also differ sector by sector. So that is also what is important in terms of cooperative system. We are anticipating and wishing to work very well with existing sectors and also build new sectors. We are mindful of the fact, as we see on the list, some of the sectors that we think probably we can also redefine some of the responsibilities so that each and every organization that exists concentrate on a particular sector. With that, then, it will be easy to begin to undertake some of the five pillars of cooperative system so that they can tap into, and then in the long run, they build very strong cooperative movement. What we have done so far as in CASA, in terms of the sector development, these are some of the things in terms of sectors that we've identified private sectors. We are very much aware that there are other private cooperatives out there, specifically that come from previous administration, which are in existence as we speak, and also organizations that support cooperation or cooperatives in the country. For an example, the financial sector, we've got ICMF and Samba Cooperative. Samba is the one that's responsible for this transfer of money from an individual to the other, based in Bloemfontein. It's a cooperative, and these are the people that can assist in the financial sector towards building very strong financial cooperative, because they've been in existence for years. They've got experience, they can assist us, and they're willing to work with Inkasa to make sure that they assist in that particular instance. We are very much aware that in 2016 December, there was a promulgation of the new Insurance Act, whereby corporates can play a very important role, as we are very much aware that majority of people that are taking insurance actually are from the previously disadvantaged. And ASISA, being a foundation of insurance companies in the country, we are in constant negotiations with them to say what role can they assist to make sure that we create viable cooperatives in the insurance sector. There's also the element of the consumer cooperatives. We already have existing cooperatives in terms of Okra, Cape Consumer Cooperatives, who in this case are much willing to assist us to say how did they do it, because ShopRite, most of the time, they do purchasing for the goods that they see in ShopRite stores. So how they do it so that the up-and-coming cooperative in the sector can also tap into that particular market, so in the market, so that they become viable too. There's a youngster who has developed an IT app for Staza shops. And that is, the intention is to link it with what's called the township economies or rural economies, whereby Staza shops at the moment, through this particular app, they can purchase where they are located, but that particular purchase will process as a bulk purchase from the manufacturers. So we want, probably in one of the, probably maybe in the summit, to come and demonstrate that, or even to the Department of Small Business, to say how can this particular app, so that they can also be promoted to the spaza shops in our townships. In housing and property, we are in constant, actually in advanced stage, where Old Mutual, South African Property Owners Association, which the housing sector is a member of, and the Standard Bank, in terms of promotion of housing cooperatives in property, in social housing for ownership, or what you normally call cooperative housing. So they've shown a huge interest to say there's a particular role that they can play in this particular instance. There's also a very important element that a lot of people are not very much aware of, cooperatives in sports, where the members or sports fanatics, soccer fanatics, can actually use cooperation to create employment over and above the passion that they have. An organization like your Kickoff Magazine have shown an interest to say that we've got so many members that we probably, as a pilot, we are willing to give this particular members to pilot this particular concept that you guys have, because we love it, it's very beautiful. We also spoke with some of an organization called Toplay X. I know it's one of the brands that a lot of people are very much aware of, to begin to upscale and upbring those up-and-coming cooperative in the poultry industry to market their eggs, so that they can use their brand name on board so that they can also market their eggs. So it's one of the opportunities that we were created for the cooperatives. And lastly, in terms of professional cooperatives, specifically we're talking about those students who are from universities, who have graduated in a number of aspects, and in this particular regard, they can offer management services, financial services, auditing services, and also in issues of training and skilling of the cooperative members. That will also give them an opportunity to create employment. So in terms of the research, we've got a partnership agreement with Oxfam to work with us in terms of sector-specific research on the role of these particular professionals can do to make sure that they assist these particular cooperatives. So this is the structure of cooperatives, and in the long and short of it, these are the strategic objectives of NGASA. And what is very important that I'd like to bring is that SAOC is part of BRICS. And as a result, we are very much aware of our counterparts, SANACO, being the members of BRICS. And in this process, there's a lot of partnership agreements that we've signed. And we believe that through those partnership agreements, a lot can be tapped in. We are mindful of the fact that the Chinese marketing and supply cooperative is responsible for the distribution of the clothes all over the country, and that is what contributes largely to the economy of the country. But unfortunately, it has a different impact in South African economy, whereby we see clothing industry are closing. Through the partnership, we can then begin to influence our Chinese counterparts to give us an opportunity that some of the particular factories that are there can, or the garments or clothing that are manufactured in China can be manufactured by their partners in South Africa, being the South African cooperative movement. Those are possible partnerships that we can get ourselves into. The other partnership through that can also be utilized through BRICS. It's the role that our sister organization, BNACSA, it's been around the issue of transportation. We are very much aware that logistics and the bus industry, South Africa utilizes buses that were assembled or that comes from Brazil. Cooperatives in that pillar sector can also, through the partnership, find an opportunity where most of these assemblies can actually be done at a bigger scale in South Africa, thus creating employment for cooperative members and also contribute to the economy of the country. There are also other aspects of cooperation and establishment of cooperatives in different sectors that we intend to engage on to, or undergo. Chairperson was talking about the mining and the energy sector. And I don't know if probably in some of the researches or probably that the committee can undertake, majority of the energy sector in the United States of America, 30% of that is produced by cooperatives in the United States. So cooperatives are actually responsible for 40% of the energy that is produced in the United States of America. And we're talking about the agreement. I know that we're in the process of engaging the Department of Energy around what's called the stakeholders in the energy sector. We also want to tap into that. We are very much aware that there are few cooperatives who are in the energy sector in the country. And then we want to bring the Department of Energy in this regard to explore that so that the headache that we're seeing every time of this ever-increasing request of increment of services by Eskom to provide electricity, communities, actually specific communities in the rural areas can play that role very eloquently. There's also an opportunity of tourism in the country. Tourism is one of the sectors that is said to create a lot of employment, but we don't see much cooperative play a role into that. In my discussion with the Minister of Tourism, Comrade Teres, he mentioned to say that I'm still waiting for someone else who says I can come to me, organize cooperative in the tourism sector, and we're very much willing to do that. And the South African, Tourism Board was also willing to come on board so that we can come up very clear on what are the objectives and how these things or how this particular sector can be organized. So what I'm trying to say that...
Try to go towards rounding up.
Yes. So, in short, what you're saying is that tourism is one of the opportunities that can create employment for cooperatives, because tourism, it has many sectors within it that can also create this particular opportunity. So, in last but not least, Chairperson, in wrapping up, there are two major opportunities that would benefit cooperatives, and cooperatives can play a very important role. The first one is the recent presidential job summit, where In the engagement, it became very clear that cooperatives can play also a very important role towards the creation of employment in the country. And the Presidential Job Summit, one of the resolutions, there's a particular role that the movement can play. And then, lastly, one of our ways, it was towards the establishment of what you call the Cooperative College. But then the Department of Higher Education started a process of what you call the revision of the NSDP 3, the National Skills Development Plan 3, whereby there's a talk of what you call community colleges, where cooperatives can play a very important, rather to have an individual cooperative college, we'll rather have a sector of community colleges all over the country where cooperatives can play a very, very important role. So That is a long and short of it, Chairperson, and we thank you for the opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Remember, the fresh tea outside can grab a cup and come back because we are pressed with time. Thank you very much. We will take the next presentation from SANACO.
Thanks very much, Chair. And honorable members of the parliament, colleagues, institutions, and experts, and the department as well, and all of you. Allow me, Chairperson, to introduce the team. My name is Lawrence Bare. I'm the president of SANACO. With me here, I'm with the team. Sam Rakoto, Matthew Simponzo, Yvonne Gozongo, Joe Barrent, and Zuki Madikani. They're here at the back. Chairperson, allow me briefly to give the background of the organization that was formed by all cooperatives. Of course, assisted by the then department that has got a legislative mandate to lead cooperatives, then DTI. It gives me a pleasure, Chairperson, that SANACO was formed by all cooperatives in the conference that all provinces were there together with the Department of the Trade Industry. That was the 30th of June to the 5th of July 2008. SANACO is an autonomous association of the secondaries and tertiaries as well as the primaries of cooperatives in the country to serve voluntarily the socio-economic of the cooperatives. SANACO is the embodiment of the cooperative movement in the country. Since its formation, SANACO has got a history that I'll go through and that everyone knows about it. SANACO was reaffirmed by the cooperatives across the country as a single apex body that serves the interests of cooperatives. Indeed, SANACO is a member of the International Cooperative Alliance globally. SANACO participates in the continent. SANACO is the leader of the SADC Cooperative Federation. SANACO this year is chairing the BRICS Cooperative Leaders. I must say that at SANACO, we work with other tertiary cooperatives across the country, the military veterans, the worker cooperatives, the burial societies, construction, services, consumer, finances, and others. To give a background about SANACO that we're leading the SADC, that the President Bale was elected the chairperson of the SADC Cooperative Federation in 2011 in the DBSA, with more than 8 countries in attendance. And later on, other countries came and joined. We must say, as SANACO, we have met and visited many countries. To mention the few, Swaziland, Mozambique, Zimbabwe, Lesotho, Botswana, Zambia, Malawi, and others. We must say we've got a track record of working with the Lesotho as well as Swaziland in terms of assisting our financial cooperative to stand on their own, not to be dependent. I must say, Chairperson, in the last meeting that we were speaking, you wanted some exhibit of what we speak about. I'm happy to raise this card, Chairperson, to you, that we are part of the cooperative finance, that we are supporting us as a movement. You will be aware that we're not supported by any government, but supported by our own financial cooperatives as well as cooperatives themselves. So it's our pride. Chairperson, I'll give you a brief about the work that we did in the continent. Re- recently, we are from Nigeria, where the interministerial meeting was held in Abuja. We are happy the department was represented by the Deputy Minister of Small Business. And then for that, we want to put on record, Chairperson, that if it was not Sanogo as a member, South Africa would be isolated. So South Africa has been included because Sanogo is a member. And that we take pride for that, that we are linking our country with other countries through cooperatives. We must also, Chairperson, to make formal information to you that we recently come from the BRICS Cooperative Summit in South Africa, hosted by SANACO. This file that I have here, Chairperson, has got a report. Anything that I'm speaking about here has got an attachment on the BRICS. There's a BRICS a report attached here. I'll hand over this to you after my presentation. And then amongst others, we had some challenges with the Russia didn't come, and we have resolved that the President Bale must visit Russia, that we are visiting in January, to engage them on the challenge that they have so that we must work as a bloc without missing others. It was also resolved that South Africa, through SANACO, should engage with the government as well as the BRICS countries for a permanent office wherein all BRICS countries will have a representation, so that we must have a permanent secretariat of the BRICS cooperative leaders. And that, of course, we're working on it. It will be done. Without missing other issues, the issue of the cooperative, of the bank, that we also want to be part of that. And indeed, we're making some strains to make sure that we interact with the BRICS cooperative, with the BRICS leaders, countries. Part of our history, Chairperson, is that in the international, SANACO has signed the MOU with the Italian cooperative through Reggio Emilia. We did that also following the MOU which was signed by the then president of the ANC, Oliver Richard Tambo, that signed the MOU in 1987. And as SANACO, we wanted to link and learn more from the Italians because they are big. And indeed, we signed that they are adding on the capacity and the education and giving sharing with information with South Africa. And through that, Chairperson, we must say that this does not only benefit the SANACO only. It benefits all cooperatives, and of course, we are happy that the Department of Gauteng is also coming, has got interest in the space. We also want to report to this Parliament that since SANACO has launched, we have never missed to celebrate the International Cooperatives Day. In 2009, we hosted it in Pietermaritzburg in KwaZulu-Natal. In 2010, we hosted it in Gauteng, Johannesburg. 2011, we hosted it in East London, Eastern Cape. 2012, in Kimberley, the Year of Cooperatives in Northern Cape. 2013, in Durban, KwaZulu-Natal. 2014, Limpopo. 2015 in Northwest, 2016 Nelspruit, and in 2017 Free State. We should have came to Cape Town, and then we were informed officially that there's a problem of water, and we're advised that we must come next time. I'm raising this, Honorable Members of Parliament, to see the blossom and the glory of SANACO, that what we've done since until today. I must say that we also said 2018 ICD, on our own, without any support from government, it was the best one. Government supported by the attendance of the Deputy Minister to come and address and grace the occasion. On that, we must take pride to say we were also graced by the brass band of the ZCC and the choir of the ZCC as well, which were organized this on our own. You can see that we're not dependent on government. We can do things on our own. And Chairperson, and the Honourable Members of Parliament, this gives us an opportunity to say if all ICDs to come will champion them, will prove it. So governments must not come to save their funding. They have to support and let cooperatives to do, and will appreciate the support and let us to do on our own without interfering, but support. I must say, amongst other things that we are working on is the collaboration and participant. It has been already mentioned that we are representing all cooperatives in the country on the policy space at NEDLAC, wherein the president of SANACO is a principal and a development chamber. We also participated in the job summit of the president. We also participated in the investment conference. As I speak to you, Chairperson, like I said, that the attachment here, we have also been invited this year from the 10th of December to the 15th December in China, also to collaborate and get a mechanism of implementing what we've discussed about during the BRICS countries. And I must say that at SANACO, we are also being engaged by the other institutions, private sectors, and other agencies to always say, SANACO, please come and speak. I've put the invitation here in the notes that we're also invited to come and speak on the rural development and the radical economic reform in Durban Hilton Hotel. We must also say that in the continent, our GM will be visiting Tanzania from the 26th of November to the 30th of November in Tanzania, Kilimanjaro. We were touched when you speak about the Morogoro Conference and the Kwame Conference, which they were pioneers of making sure that people should not be dependent on government, but should be dependent on themselves through cooperatives. And for that, we are saying we are gathering all information in the continent. And I must also say that we are busy interacting with our financial cooperatives to form cooperative bank. As I've mentioned, you've seen the card and other documents are here. You will see them for yourselves. SANACO has been able to be partner with the different sector education and training on the support of cooperatives. At SANACO, this year, we've embarked on empowering cooperatives in the Mpumalanga province, Limpopo, Free State, in partnering with other institutions. We must report to you, Honorable Parliament and Chairperson, that the cooperatives that we're assisting now, we assist them from the start until they are economically viable with the support of the CETAs. And we must say this, we are moving at a high level of making sure that we don't want to see cooperatives existing on the paper, but should be functional and economically viable. We are happy to report to this Honorable Parliament and to each person that SANACO has got a long history of relationship with the Productive A. And of course, we were called to come and address them on the awards. And then we've already trained more than 30,000 individual members through our partnership with Productive A. And we're proud that some of these corporate that we've trained, now they're functional, and what they are doing, you can see. We are working with other provinces to make sure that we raise the flag of the cooperatives, that cooperatives should not be undermined by not functioning, only lobbying or talking. They should be functional. And for that, we always say they should work with the municipalities, they should work with the chiefs in the rural areas, because the land is owned by the chiefs in the rural areas. And for that, we say everything comes from and off the land. So we need to recognize those who are in charge or those who are in control. We are also working with other institutions, the likes of FSCC, the Women Coalition, the South African Youth Council, Disabled People of South Africa, as well as SANCO and others. We must say that we've made a significant role in terms of the Cooperative Act, wherein we are eagerly waiting to see the cooperative agency as well as the cooperative academy, the tribunal and advisory council. Chairperson and Honorable Parliament, these are the issues that SANACO make sure that we don't need favors from individuals or departments. These are the legislative that we need to make sure that they are there to support cooperatives, and they are there legislated for now. And thus you can judge us from what we do. And for that we take pride. Of course, amongst others, we must say that in terms of the sectors, added the sector of the mining, ocean economy, and environmental economy. Because we believe that in certain economic sectors will come as people try and address their issues. We are saying that indeed, we take pride to the cooperatives that are supporting SANACO. We have got in our own office, we have got 13 staff members, where we rent the office, we run the office, we pay the rent, we pay the staff, we pay the phones, we buy the stationery. The office is up and running. And hence we are saying, all those that we take pride to say, SANACO has managed to campaign and raise the flag of cooperatives. We take pride to say everybody today has got interest of cooperatives through SANACO. And they are emerging and upcoming. They are babies. So we want to include them. And as they come, we will not raise them away. They were babies because they came to us, hearing us speaking about these things, and we say they welcome. Honorable members and the portfolio committee, we want to thank Honorable Chairperson who visited Limpopo on the awards of the certificate on, together with Productive A, May, the champion of cooperatives, Meru Bengu, when we awarded the certificate on cooperatives. And thank you very much again, Chairperson of the Pro Committee, to come and see what SANACO does, not talking. The program that we have has been amended, it was a resolution that was taken by the ICD in Polokwane, that we need to champion the issue of the pottery, the issue of sewing, the issue of construction, and others. And amongst others, we cannot leave agriculture because everybody eats, and everything that comes from the land. We want to put it on record that we were so heartened when we lost one our leader, Councillor Luyanda Mbele from this province, who was gunned down when he was leading the transport sector together with the Association of Taxi Industry and as well as the PRASA as well. Although some other people are alleged, who claims to be the champion of cooperatives, alleged to have misused the funds from the PRASA. But that's not our space. And then we must say this, as cooperatives, we have already visited a number of international countries in Spain, from Rogorio, our head was talking about Moro, and in Spain, and we were there in Spain as well. We are happy that you came after us. In Netherlands, we went there, in Germany, we went there, in Italy, we went there, and this is our footprint. And anybody who can come and see what we did. And all these chapters that I'm talking about, there's an evidence in this file of that I'm talking about. And I want to conclude by saying, together we can do more is not a slogan. In my language from Venda, they say, Munomuti auto simatutu. And then, of course, we make a call to the cooperatives that as we fight amongst ourselves, cooperatives suffer on the ground. And for that makes it difficult for the government to support cooperatives. And we want to put clear here in this house that SANACO has been there, is here, and is going forward. And the track record speaks for itself. And we want to say we are champion of cooperatives. We'll continue to do our work. If others come now, please refer them. We cannot revamp the wheel. The department then is here. They use a lot of resources in making sure that SANACO is up and running. I want to end Chairperson by saying, we are happy and proud that since the ICA was formed in 1895, we are the first country in South Africa through SANACO that brought the globe, the ICA, to visit South Africa and Africa in 2013, and it was hosted here. And nobody has ever done that in Africa. We did that as part of our pride, and for that we did our best. And for that we say, thanks very much, and we'll continue to work with others, persuade them to see. And then when they come, they can't push others away when they find them. They should come and join without competing, but collaboration as we practice the principles of cooperatives. And for that we say, Portfolio Committee, thanks very much for this, and to each person, we hope we'll work together going forward. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next presentation. The last time we interacted with FANAC, and we chose not to call you back and just go to the field to see for ourselves what was going on. If you remember very well, in that meeting there were two FANACs. And subsequent to that, there's a meeting that I had with you, President Bali, and Mr. Sam Ragot. We met, the three of us, at O.R. Tambo Airport. And that meeting was saying that we can't have a FANACO that is has got members that are pulling different directions. Hence the invite today that having invited you, I also invited Sam Ragot. Because I want to hear it from you, the two of you, that what we agreed on at O.R. Tambo, that we will not allow a situation that happened, that we read about in the Bible, where a drunk woman slept on top of the child and the child died. And then she took the dead child and put it in the bed of another woman and took the child that was alive and slept with that child. And when the mother of the real child that was alive woke up to say, "This is my child," then the two women began to fight. And then they were taken to King Solomon. When the story was related, and he said, "No, both of you are claiming this child. The best thing for me is to cut the child into two. I'm going to cut this child into two. Give one woman one side and the other woman one side." And the woman who was not the real mother said that was okay. And the real mother said, "No, don't cut this child into two halves. Rather, let this woman who's claiming my child to be her, rather let this woman have this child." Because the real mother knew that if the child was cut into half, the child was going to die. That meeting that we had in O.R. Tambo was about FANACO, not Bale and not Sen. FANACO, the organization that cannot be torn into two. Because when we do that, we know that we are killing it. So I now, when we met there, you committed that you were going to talk to each other. You were going to bring the membership of FANACO together. Now, this process is about correcting the structure, ensuring that cooperatives in South Africa are well structured. Because if cooperatives in South Africa are not well structured, there are many apex bodies that are fighting amongst themselves. Cooperatives will not develop. This meeting is about that. This meeting is also about the value that you add when you all claim to be the apex bodies. Let us see the footprint. And let us not think of ourselves as these bodies. Let us think of the noble goal of establishing a vibrant social economy in South Africa. So I give the opportunity to Mr. Ragoto to then speak.
Yes, I agree 100% with you. But also, there is a still outstanding issue with SANALCO, and that's at 39 million rand. And the report got
Honorable Kruger, we are coming to that.
Okay.
We are coming to that. We are talking about the structures that exist and the impact, the role that those structures are playing. We will come to that. Honorable.
To the chair, I was wondering, Chair, because we have already had three presentations, that maybe after the speaker have allowed to speak, maybe we can ask questions on that and then go to another three, because I'm worried that some of us would start leaving. And we have issues to raise with the presenters. It's my question whether that can be possible.
Thanks. Honorable Chan.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks, Honorable Nwabe, because I have to leave in 10 minutes. I'm grateful for this opportunity. Yeah, I mean, we have a sort of plethora of organizations here, all essentially making the claim to be either the apex body or the mother body. I don't quite know what the difference is between an apex and a mother. But anyway. And it's a problem because it's holding back the sector. And what's also holding back the sector is the fact that the Act has not been put into action. It was only proclaimed just a couple of days ago. So the bodies that actually should have been out there sorting this problem out, including the tribunal and the agency and all these other things.
I want to make a suggestion on procedure, that noting that we are going to lose members, but the fact that we have done those three, and if we have Mr. Sam Ragoto's input, then we can say we have heard holistically the three. If we ask him to be brief, so that after his input, Honorable Charles continues, that's what I suggest, correction.
Okay, thanks. Can we take, I guess you will not be making a presentation, but you will speak on the specific issues that I have talked on. Okay.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members of the House, colleagues. Indeed, I'm Sam Ragoto. I'm from SANALCO. I'm the Deputy President of SANALCO. We did meet with Dr. Bale. We've already corrected everything. Now we are working together. There's nothing sinister with that. And all that has been presented regarding the issues of the cooperative, the representative of the cooperative, as government has invested too much into a cooperative to develop the structure that will represent the cooperatives, there is a footprint. And we are happy to work together, as brief as I can see. Thank you.
Thank you.
So the meeting that we had, the three of us, produced a result. You are now working together. Okay. Meaning with that, we are not talking about what is happening. We are talking about SANACO being one SANACO. Okay. Can we then get comments from members and also questions? We will see how we then handle the other presentations, but as I have said, this is a process. Siyahamba manje stimela sesoshayisa umuntu. The train is now moving, and when the train has started to move, it doesn't stop. So it's going to be a process. Okay, Honorable Chan, followed by Honorable Kapa. Honorable Kruger and Honorable Mnabe. Oh, but at that time he was asking a question, he was making a suggestion.
Okay, thanks, Chair. So instead of four, we have three, which is at least one better. But I guess my first question is, what is the status of the discussions, the negotiations between ICASA and SANACO on a merger? Because I know that those discussions were due to take place, and that would then result in the formation of a single APEX body. Number two, I guess the question I need to ask ICASA is why they felt the need in 2016 to form ICASA, when already there was supposedly SANACO in place as the so-called apex body. My final question is, in terms of the Cooperative Development, the Cooperatives Amendment Act, can you give your view on what you believe the minister's role is in recognizing the body that is supposedly the apex corp, and if there is a disagreement between them, how that resolution will be achieved?
Honorable Kappa.
Thank you, Chair. I'm not sure I'm able to ask questions, and I'm also not happy that by the time other presentations are done, I won't be here. But one thing is that I feel that we don't have much to say to these institutions, because to me, much was to learn what they are about, what they are doing, what their roles are. Tebogo last week, in his presentation, he talked about the systems, which is something I think not many people know about. When you talk about this, that systemic interaction, which is different from systematic one. The main characteristic of the systems here is that each system wants to know its boundaries. Each system wants to know where it is in relation to others. Each system wants to know how it relates with the others. It wants to know how it is influenced and how it influences others. But at the same time, it also recognizes how it is part of the whole, and also understanding the whole of power. One thing what maybe is negative on my part here is that I think I was discovering why there is no place for cooperatives in the Department of Small Business Development, because all that work is here, is outside that department. I'm sorry to if I can be misunderstanding the situation, but I'm finding this work, all of it,
outside that department. But still, to me, from a positive note, it means that the department is supposed to have the ability to understand and coordinate all that work, because it is work that is done in the interest of the nation. On what is still remaining is that I'm convinced we have not had a correct understanding and approach for the cooperative development in our society, or even understanding that the cooperative system or movement is a major part of our socio-economic development, which is therefore not given its rightful place in the understanding of our economy. But mainly, I want to confirm that in my understanding, it tells me that there's quite a lot of information, knowledge, and skills about this cooperative development, which only needs to be properly coordinated and properly given its rightful place and properly managed, so as to identify the correct things to be done and the right thing and its right position in the development of our economy. Otherwise, all these skills, to me, they are information that is necessary for the development of the cooperatives in our country, and all of them. I'm not encouraging the existence of all of them here and there, but it tells you that there's a possibility that once it is commonly understood, it can achieve the objective. You have all the necessary skills, all the necessary information and capacity. There's several things that I thought I would maybe try to create clarity, that each one of them I would ask how they relate with the department, how they relate with the other, what is their ultimate objective. I was happy when that gentleman from the Sanako, when he was saying it has been there, it will be there, but when he said it will march forward, he did not say it will be forever. I was worried that he will say it will be forever, and therefore it would be worrying me, because it would suggest that he does not presuppose any changes in the process of development. But in marching forward, there will be a lot of development and changes in the interest of that part. What is needs here to be done, in my understanding, is this coordinated effort and reality. To me, based on the understanding and presentation that was presented to us by them, Chair, I don't think I'll be able to put questions here, but I wanted to express my understanding, and which is also giving me a hope, but I want the department to understand their role, or identify their role, to understand that if they feel that their work has been taken away from them, they should say that. If they feel that maybe they have not been given enough responsibility or capacity or resources to coordinate that work, they should say that. But with those few words, I think.
Honorable Mwabe. Oh, no, Krug. Okay, Mwabe.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Al Kruger. I'm sure members know we have declaration in the House, but I also have another committee to be in and out the house. I must prepare myself for that. Well, Chairperson, I've got Sanako questions and Sanka, Naxa and NASA. To Sanako, it's not clear from your report as to how many members you have and their current status. And what services you offer to them. I've read your report as we're presenting. It's more of the... You are more on international networks, I don't see you in branches in your members. We have elaborated on BRICS, African conferences, China, this and this, but I don't know how those skills that you acquire there goes down to your members. And I also need your view on the 88% failure rates of cooperatives and the efforts you are making to address that. Also, you comment in your report, there is a conference you attended in Africa, in one of the countries in Africa, where it was your representative was a secretary of SANACO Youth. My question is, what is that youth structure doing within your organization? Because I have never heard anything about youth cooperatives being led by your structure. And in all these international networks and conferences you've attended, some are regional, I haven't heard anything from you regarding the Mondragon in Spain, where I think it's a much relevant place to get the knowledge of what should be happening in cooperatives. I would want you to comment on that. But also, Chair, you know, in this committee, honorable guests, we are so practical. And I know I'm repeating this, my colleagues will remember. From your members, how many co-ops are supplying big shops, Shoprite, Spar, Woolworths, and how much is the turnover? Because if you speak about changing lives of people, it's not about conferences. It's not about what should happen about research. Some people must get food on the table through cooperatives and change their lives. That's the practicality of it. If you haven't done that, then there's no reason for you to exist. The last question will be your relationship, because you regard yourself as an umbrella body of the cooperatives. Your relationship with the local municipalities, district municipalities, provincial economic development departments. I want you to comment on that. And same questions goes to SANCA, NASCA and CANSA, NASA. But for NASCA, there is one thing, Chair, that I must comment on. Your research on the failure rate, what you show us today, per province, I appreciate that one. But I want to know whether have you shared that information with our department? And what has been their comments on that? What have they done regarding that? But that's the only question I have for you, because they are more or less the same, access to market and others. But the NCASA, NASA, on page 12, you said to us, NASA must be resuscitated to fight for the interest of cooperatives. To me, it says that you are no longer in existence. If you say that structure must be resuscitated, you speak about vision and wishes, then practical things that should be happening in a structure. I just need that clarity, whether are you in existence or you want us to assist you to resuscitate. What's happening with the structure? Maybe, Chairperson, let me stop there for now.
Honorable Kruger.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you all, Bobby, for the formative presentations. Yes, Chair, I want to go back to the issue of the 39 million. Can I go back to it now? Thank you. 39 million rand sword that's hanging over Sanalco's head. And the problem is, Madam Chair, we already start, you know, when we talk about the apex, we start with a deficit of trust here. And we haven't seen that report, and I think we need to get a report from the president. I think the president had it last time, if I can remember correctly. And also, that report actually mentioned that the NPA must prosecute some of the members and some of the leadership of SANACO. So my question is, are we going to see that report? What is SANACO saying about the 39 million rand that was paid into one of the chairperson's bank accounts, apparently? That's my first question. And then my second question, also to SANACO. At one stage, you mentioned in your presentation that you trained 39,000 cooperatives. Am I right? 39,000. And then we also saw from her presentation that the success rate is roughly 3% if you look at the averages. So it seems like your training is not very sufficient or efficient. I mean, if you train 39,000 and only 3% survive, then I think we must relook at the syllabus and what have you. So why do you think that your training is not up to standard, and with all that training cooperatives, still the failure rate is more than 90%? Thank you, Chief.
Thank you. I also want to add my own question.
I just want to add about the 39 million. I did ask a question, a written question, to the Minister of COCTA about it, and I haven't received a answer back. But I will just follow it up and find out what happened to that question. But I think we need that to see that report before anything, because we can't start the APEX, you know, the new Amendment Act and appoint the APEX with this 39 million rand trust deficit. Thank you.
Mina, my question is about you and this structure presenting yourselves to us and lobbying us. We are a portfolio committee responsible for legislation to level the ground for cooperatives. We process the budget for the Department of Small Business, which is mandated to develop cooperatives in South Africa. None of you have ever written me a letter. The first presentation that happened here today by Qinindlu, I did not know her, but she wrote me an email. She realized that her problems would be solved by this portfolio committee. I just have one question in relation to us. This committee was established in 2014. Why in 2018? Why have you not approached us? If you are really APEX body, there's only one that approached us. It is NACFISA. The rest never approached us. SANACO was invited by us. And they came as two structures. Other structures that are claiming to be APEX body have never approached us. But the legislation that has to do with cooperatives resides with us. Number two, the implementation of the Cooperatives Act resides with the department, meaning that the establishment of the Cooperative Development Agency is a responsibility of the Department of Small Business Development. And if they are not establishing that, they are violating the Act. We hold them accountable. But if we are talking from a portfolio committee perspective and the people that require that Cooperative Development Agency are not saying anything, then whom are you lobbying, Gandhi? Because all of you have presented that you lobby. Whom are you lobbying? Why don't we see you picketing when the department, when we are debating the budget of the department, demanding that the Cooperative Development Agency be established? Why don't we see you picketing, demanding that the Cooperative Training Academy be established, because there is an act? Why don't we see you picketing here, having come to us if we have failed to do anything to hold the department accountable? Then when we debate the budget of the department, you picket to demand that the department is mandated, there is an act in place to establish a cooperative tribunal, and you are the members who need it. And the department has not done that. Why are you letting the department fail you? That is my question. That is why the question is, what is your role? How do you help your members? The third question is, how do you keep quiet when 88% of your members are failing and there is a department mandated to develop you, to develop your members? The life as it demanding was brought into the attention of government by families whose people had died. Your members are dying and you are not making any noise. I just want you to respond to those three questions so that I can understand why you exist. Do you exist for yourself or you exist for your members? Honorable Mabasa and Honorable Mabasa, Umoya was a Pentecost.
Thank you very much, Comrade Chair. Now, my question is, I want to assume that you as leaders, it's a statement actually, I want to assume that you appreciate the value of unity. You know, that's a very starting point, because it's not about yourselves as leaders, but it's about the members you are representing. That's a given. If you can't work over that in your minds, you must forget about building cooperatives in this poor South Africa. Don't think about yourselves. Organizations were there. People led organizations, and people died. It's not nice, but people died. And others came in to continue leading organizations. A good organization is the one that does not die with you. It is the one that lives forever. So that I take it and assume that you as leaders will always be guided by that principle. Even those strong countries that we speak of, when we speak of Italy, Spain, rich as they are, but uppermost for them is unity. So who are we? Even Bafana Bafana, though it's struggling, is doing better than us as cooperators, because we have one Bafana Bafana. But with you, really, I mean, if the secretary has made a good invitation, I assume we could be having a page full of people that we are inviting to this meeting. You are not being fair to cooperatives. You are not being fair. So that's one point. It's a statement. But the challenge that I want to put to yourselves is I would like you to write to us through the secretary, to write to the chair, and categorize the cooperatives that are your members. Categorize them in this manner. Category number A, the most successful cooperatives that are your members. In other words, we're talking of the excellent ones. Category number B, the averagely performing cooperatives. That's the average. And then category number C, struggling, stroke, failing cooperatives. And then if you can name them and give the contact details of the leaders and their addresses, so that when we want to go on oversight, sometimes we can pick on your cooperatives and be able to see what the comparison is between what comes from the mouth and what is on the ground. But let me ask you through Comrade Chair whether I can see a nod from the leaders. If my request is clear. If it's clear, if I see 2-3 nods, then that's all right. And the deadline, because, I mean, this must be ready information. You only need 7 days. So today it's Wednesday. By next week, Wednesday, if you can send us that information, we will appreciate. And their email addresses, their physical addresses, what they trade on. Where is it an agriculture co-op? Is it what it specializes on? And then how many members it has, so that we go and see these organizations. Thanks, Comrade Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I forgot my page is one very important question. In fact, a statement motivated by your opening remarks earlier on. I have it here. On the issue of the VBS, Michel Pen, I also want to express my disappointment because the liquidation order was granted because it was unopposed in court. That's the information we have. It was granted. There was no way the court could not grant it if it was uncontested, unopposed. This is the bank that has helped, especially the rural majority of the Limpopo. And I understand exactly that the majority of your members are from the rural sector. You might have those IT co-ops in urban areas, but when we speak of this kind of a business, it's more on the rural population. Now we have all these organizations, President, and all the names that you have, Apex, all these big English words. But you cannot oppose something that directly affects your members. You see, it seems as if that bank never assisted any poor majority of Limpopo. I do not know whether co-ops has never got any assistant or small businesses of that area have never got any assistance, but you never even issued a statement to say, now that is liquidated, can government come up with something similar to the services of the VPS? That's the disappointment I also want to express to you, that you have let down the rural poor in this matter. And the same bank, Chair, offers more or less services with Itala Bank of KwaZulu-Natal. I do not know the relationship you have with that particular bank. From what happens to VPS, have you met them to say we want this relationship so that we avoid what? Because the bank is not, the VPS was not collapsed because the rural poor or co-ops or small business of Limpopo have done something wrong. It was collapsed by already rich class.
And you guys have never made any noise about that, but President, you claim to represent those people. It's sad, it's very sad. Thanks.
Hey, I forgot to mention, members and leaders, that it's very critical that as you build these cooperatives, try and strive as much as possible to have non-racial cooperatives, you know, as much as possible. We know that poverty lies more amongst Africans and blacks in general. But at the same time, from your ideological attitude, try to be a non-racial cooperatives, because you will find at a certain corner of Kuonstad, there is a struggling Miss Van der Merwe. You know, if you can persuade her to join the co-op, all the better, so that we build one united non-racial, non-sexist country. And also the people with disabilities, if it's not you who must take care of them, who else? Thanks, Corrector.
I also want to revisit this issue of VPS. VPS is a mutual bank. In other words, it's a cooperative bank. But if this training that you are talking about was a relevant training, that bank would have been managed like all cooperative enterprises. So the difference between an SMME and a cooperative is the management. Members are part of governing that institution, which then tells us what went wrong in VPS. It was no longer managed as a mutual bank. And with all this money that is being pumped, that even the department comes to us and says, we are providing training. Sita and all of you, what training then are you training, Gandhi, if VPS would not be managed by members? What are you training then? So, the looting that happened in VPS should actually be put on the doorsteps of the structures that are sitting here, claiming to be apex bodies. With DGRV, and DGRV stands up and says, Tina, if we were asked to audit that bank, it would have not collapsed. But if the department is confused, is misdirecting EVPS to do other things instead of directing the VPS to work directly with the structures of cooperatives without being micromanaged by UJEF nabantu bakhe. UJEF nakasebenzisa imali bakagovernment ayeka imali yelukuze ye-DGRV. Adedele i-DGRV to work directly with cooperatives. In Germany, they work with cooperatives directly. They are only doing that here in South Africa because of the department that is micromanaging them. And Nina, you are keeping quiet. So, it blames your VPS. It's at those steps then. You know, you're going to be opposed to their liquidation. All of you seated here. And we called you this meeting. Tina, we plan for our meetings. We don't just dream of meetings. We called it timelessly for it to happen on this day, because we knew, Guti, when was this case going to be heard. So when we were dealing with the program, yes, we programmed this meeting to happen a day after so that we will deal with this issue when it is still fresh in our minds. And nifike la nizosixoxela zonke le nganekwane nisixoxela zona. You are telling us fairy tales. You are telling us fairy tales that have got more to do with your own interests, not the interests of cooperatives, not the interests of building the social economy, not the interests of transforming the economy into the hands of workers and communities. That is our starting point. And if the cooperative movement is so weak in South Africa, that department and those officials are going to do all these things that today they've been taking us to cooperatives that do not exist. They say it is a cooperative that is involved in poultry. And we arrive today to be shown one day chicks that arrived yesterday. And some of them without even the building layer department. There isn't even a single heater. And Yaleo project, it is right in the residential area. Ubanongazi ukuthi kukhona into okethwe bird flu. Could you actually put a poultry cooperative right inside a residential area? They take us to see agricultural cooperatives across a river and there is no bridge. And how are those people going to take their produce to the market? When the department is mandated to coordinate with other departments and sign transversal agreements, they fail to sign a transversal agreement to provide a bridge to a cooperative that has been funded by this department, a cooperative that is not known by a municipality, and they call that coordination and signing of the transversal agreement, and then you are keeping quiet. I don't think that we'll have time to engage on these questions. I don't think so. We'll not be doing justice. Today, we were opening a can of worms. I don't know whether you want to comment, Debo. My assessment is that today we were opening a can of worms, and I can see Uti. It's not a can of worms. It's actually a septic tank. So I'm not going to ask you to respond to this question. I'm just going to ask Debo to comment. We are going to have a workshop nani. Ngeke siye nani kwi summit nisanje. We won't take you to the summit when you are like this. Because you will be expected to say something as the so-called apex bodies. And what you will come out of your mouth will be more about how you are fighting each other than telling us what this country needs. So comment at table, because when you have no interest.
Yeah, indeed, Chairperson. I don't want to spend a lot of time. I think they are, you know, what has been presented today and also the ongoing engagement by the committee still reflect, you know, our previous discussion with regard to what are the crises facing the sector. And in my presentation, I did emphasize that overall, we've got the triple crisis facing the co-ops, okay? One is the issue of identity crisis, okay? Who are you, you know? It's a very, very important question that it involves a lot of things about, you know who you represent. How do you want to distinguish yourself from other sectors of the economy? Knowledge about your own self as well, you know. So these issues, even to today, we can get a sense of that, that it's a big challenge for the country. The second one we raise is issue of management and governance. Okay, we didn't hear more about that. I thought there would have been a sense of these are the challenges facing the sector. Okay, we did hear the good things. It's important, but it will be important to know what are the challenges for this. If you say, you know, you represent the agricultural co-ops, what are their challenges? What are their needs? Where are they now? And so on. That's how the word represent means, that you represent them. So you speak about them, what they do, and that shows, that is linked to the first crisis, which is identity, because you can't, if you can't, you don't know your sector, you'll be, it will be difficult for you to explain it in front of, you know, the powers that be, the decision makers, policy makers, like Parliament. So the crisis of the co-ops is also about how they manage themselves and the governance issues and so on, which obviously opens up a lot of areas there. It's about skills. We heard about the importance of skills. It's about technical support. We heard about that. And so on. So, and then the last part we said was that, you know, the whole issue of the legal and the institutional environment, does it support, you know, the path towards self-sustainability and viability of the co-ops? Does it promote, or is all support for support's sake, you know? And the fact that and this is, when I say the legal environment, I'm talking about the people who are administering these laws, these regulations. So it's not much about the sector, but it's also about the officials, the government people, whether they too have a similar, you know, what attitude they have towards cooperative development, you know. Do they want to continue, you know, do they measure their performance by how many grants they've issued? You know, how many thousands have registered in the registrar list? And that's all. I mean, that's what we get and so on. Or they go further than that. You know, they have an attitude to contribute to a self-sustainable co-op movement. So the legal environment is still an issue, and I hear even members of the committee are raising that there are so many things that have yet to take place. You know, they have not yet understand that the law is only now that is going to be, that was passed when? 2013. It's only now that is going to, you know, be alive, you know, and commence. So that also is a problem, not only on the co-op sector, but also in different sectors. And there was a, yeah. So I thought that was very, very important. And the last part I wanted to raise is the many presentations raise the issue of sector approach, that almost all of them claim or are committed to the idea of a sector approach. But I've been noting down, I ended up having almost 15 sectors that have been mentioned here. 15 sectors. It's a show that the triple crisis is also about what is your priority? You know, I mean, if you have gone to all these movements around the world, you will notice that they focus. They say, we are going to build 1, 2, 3 sectors. They are not going to say, we are going to build 21 sectors and so on. So they've got a specific target, and they work with government to promote those sectors, which they, not that they belittle others and so on, but they believe through assisting those sectors, they can catalyze other sectors to grow. So there will be spin-offs, so to say, out of the resources, time, and energy. So if we are all over, because we don't have resources, you don't, as a sector, you have to prioritize. You can't just say, every sector, come in, you know, we'll do it, you know, and so on. We'll have to give equal weight, a certain weight of time and energy to particular sectors that have a potential to grow. Think about the movement as a whole. Don't think about these co-ops and as a whole. That if we do that, the whole movement will grow. If you think about, I'm thinking about this and that, then you are not thinking, that's not a movement perspective. It's an individual, isolated perspective. You only think about this and that, these sectors. You don't see them together and say which one of these sectors is more important, more central for others to gather. Which is then is also an issue of even how in government we are also approaching this issue of sector approach, which I've raised my concerns at the earlier presentation. So those are my points, Chair. Thanks.
Then the last thing, Mina, I want to talk about. You see, Mina, I was trained. I didn't know anything about cooperatives. I was recruited from Sales House because the cooperatives, the organization that was developing cooperatives, wanted to exploit the issue of school uniforms, to make school uniforms a product to facilitate establishment of school uniform manufacturing cooperatives. And they recruited me because I was a school work promoter in Sales House.
There are two things that we can do. We can go on in the manner in which we are going now, or we can go into them responding. They are not going to respond. So in other words, what we are doing now, we are making comments, preparing for the next meetings. Okay, no, then I'm covered.
We've got interest on only maybe one issue to clarify, that tarnish our name when we don't know anything about what to speak about. Maybe that was need to know. We understand there have been some number of questions that I think will come back. We want categorical to deal with this issue of tarnishing our name about 39 million, which has never came to our account, which we don't know about it. And everybody speaks about it, they like something when people want power and teaching about the West. They are the ones who have got more dirty than us. That is a worrying issue. So, no, I want to clarify.
Can you allow me to run the meeting? I know that issue. I know the issue of the 39 million. And I thought we would deal with that issue with SANACO, not in this meeting. And allow SANACO to respond to it and also speak on something that we have as a report. But I also want to say the very same thing that I'm saying about the VPS Bank. At all times, we should be able to separate actions of individuals from an organization. If there is an issue, I'm not saying there is an issue, but I'm saying, let's say there was an issue. Were we going to say SANACO must die? Or we were going to go directly to people who would have been mentioned in a report, if there is a report? We can't say SANARCO. And also, we can't speak of something that we have not seen. No one has come to this portfolio committee and presented a report to say, here is a report and SANARCO must not be recognized by this portfolio committee. SANARCO is established by DTI and we can't do undo TINA if they are established by DTI. DTI is a structure of government. And even if there are weaknesses, we need to work around those weaknesses to actually say, is this structure a relevant structure? And if it is, what are the weaknesses and what are the strengths? How can we then build the capacity of a structure? So the input made by Comrade Umaba was talking about unity in the cooperative movement. Is it? When we build organizations, we should not build organizations to kill others, to kill other organizations. We should build organizations because we see a space. In marketing language, we say there is a niche, market niche. There's a space, there's a market that is not serviced by others that I can capitalize on. That's how organizations are built, because more especially in the cooperative movement, because there is this principle of cooperatives cooperate. Then we can't have national bodies representing cooperatives, then fighting amongst themselves instead of cooperating. Okay. I want to come to the issue of a product. We went to Mondragon. The first cooperative, besides the train, the college, the first cooperative was identified a product, and the product was a primer, a paraffin stove and a paraffin heater. That was the product. Beginning, 24 employees. Within 2 years, 149 employees. After that, a number of other cooperatives. I want to ask you again, ningangiphendula namhlanje, what did you think when it was said government will procure 30% of goods and services from cooperatives and SMME? Mina, what I thought of, I'm going to tell you what I thought of. I thought of an RDP house. Because the RDP house, a housing cooperative. RDP house, that 30% meant good A. If there were 1,000 houses, RDP houses to be built in a ward, 300 of those could actually give an opportunity because of that policy for establishment of a housing cooperative owned by 300 members. And if a municipality has got 10 wards, and each ward there will be 1,000 houses, it means 300 houses in each ward. That's 3,000 houses. And yet, how multiply and say. And then you have enough. These are saying one municipality, one cooperative bank. Already you have two cooperatives that you can establish. Mina, I'm saying these things because I come from a training background. I train cooperatives. I train people in community development. So I look at a policy and see how you can then use that policy to achieve what you want to achieve. So it means we could have used that more productively to say that money, that subsidy should have gone to a cooperative bank, organize these people to actually be members of a housing cooperative and a cooperative bank. Then you have two types of cooperatives. I, our theory, practical, because you are taking advantage of government policies. It's a government policy to provide an RDP house. It's a government policy to say 30% will be procured. Then another policy, the one household, one hectare. We are not going to be singing and shouting about land redistribution. If 300 households qualify for one hectare, a household, then they qualify for 300 hectares. So you are not going to march and do anything. You are not going to invade. You are going to negotiate within the government policies to say rural development, here is a housing cooperative. It has got 300 members because in this ward there were going to be 1,000 RDP houses delivered. And because there is this policy of 30%, 300 of them qualify and we are organizing them. We have organized them. If the Nisho Banjan, Niti, you are organizing, then I would hear you. To take advantage of government policies, existing government policies, to change the manner in which government is intervening on poverty and shift a budget from being a consumptive budget and make it a productive government budget, because that is what the Minister of Finance has said. We need to shift budget from consumption to production. So here are the policy instruments that Mina I would have used to develop my cooperative. I lay theory in Stellion. So that is Okuluma practical, and then tell this department to respond to practical needs of cooperatives. Okay. I declare the meeting closed. Thank you very much for coming.
Thanks. Thank you.